Hello, everybody. We're going to do some coaching today. This call is for our 100 pounds or more women who are ready to get their faces coached off. I'm ready to go. I was just telling my husband, who just left the room, that I have been in meetings since 8:30 this morning, and I've had to be nice because it was team meetings, and I'm trying to be an amazing boss, and I'm just ready to yell at some people. Just kidding. I'm not going to yell at y'all. This is what I love to do to people right before. This is how this call is going to work. So for this particular call, because this is a special call for, you must have at least 100 pounds to lose or more. You can have 200, 300 pounds to lose. Does not matter. Just as long as it's more than 100. And all you need to do is raise your hand and I will call on you. And Tara is going to be up first. So make sure that you raise your hand if you're going to want to get coached, or this is going to be one quick ass call. All right. Let me unmute. Here we go. Hey, let's get you. There you go.
Hey.
How are you?
A little weird. Sorry. I'm great. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit today about like thoughts of restriction. Okay. So I've been in the tribe for a year with you. I've lost about 105 pounds in that time. Like, I've been showing up for myself. I've been doing really good things for myself. In the last month or so, I've noticed I've started having more thoughts of restriction, which is strange because I didn't do it before. So it's kind of either I didn't notice it or I didn't do it. And I find it happens a lot in spots where, like, something will happen. There'll be a trigger. Like, I'll have like an overwhelm or anxiety or something. And, you know, I'll have the urge to eat and I'll say, like, we're not doing that. That usually works for me as a thought. Just like, yeah, we're not doing that. And I go on with my day, but sometimes I still sit with the feelings, try to work on them. Like an hour or two will go by. And I think I'm actually truly hungry at that time, mm-hmm. but I'm still telling myself similar thoughts. Like, we're not doing that. Like, I'm not eating once I get hungry. Because I'm still coming from that place of like restriction.
But you weren't restricting at first.
No.
You were saying like, this is what you've got to tell yourself. Because what you're telling me, like, I had a restrictive thought and these restrictive thoughts are coming back. The first thought was I had a thought of how I was going to truly care for myself and feel my feelings by telling myself no.
Yes.
Telling yourself no was the action or the doing. That was driven from this concept of like, tell me why you're not going to eat. Tell me why the answer is no in that moment.
So, you know, if it's for feelings, obviously the no is like, I just want to, you know, solve for emotional eating. Right.
Right.
But when I'm hungry,
but listen, let's get it real clear so that we know the difference between the two.
Yeah.
So the way you're framing it is the original telling myself of no is not restrictive, but you're framing it as I'm having these restrictive thoughts. So like I get emotional, I feel anxious, I feel overwhelmed. And in that moment, I'm telling myself no. Now you've described it as a restrictive action versus the way I would describe it is the way you, when I asked you, well, why would you not eat during that time? You're like, because we're not going to eat our feelings.
Right.
That's not restriction.
Right. That feels less like restriction. I think I'm not confident why I follow through with it and then continue. It's almost like this weird sense of.
Let me ask you this. How does it feel when you think I don't eat because I'm anxious anymore?
Amazing.
Like that's why you tell yourself no. Like you're like, I don't understand what's going on. Yeah, you do. It's easier to say no when your reason for saying no feels amazing.
Yeah, that's true. For sure.
So nowhere in that land of think, feel, do is restriction. The only thing you're restricting yourself from, I will tell you, if you want to say like, I just restricted my ass from going backward. That's where the restriction is coming into play. Because I am like not eating because I'm anxious. Restriction city. No more going backward for me.
Yeah, no, that's super fair. Absolutely.
Now, later, when you get hungry and like you're legit hungry and you're saying no, tell me why you're saying no in that moment. What is your thought about saying no then?
So it's almost like I'm so afraid of the person that I was that I'm like, I'm so sure I'm not going to emotionally eat that even when it becomes hunger, I'm like, but is it really? We could just drink water. We could set a timer. We could do all these things, but I force it to be so far. Like I'm not being fair. I really feel like I'm being abusive, to be honest. It's like, I push it so far until I'm just so hungry that, you know, I could be like shaking and like all these things. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm definitely hungry now.
But so like, this is good to know. So there's, I want to show you that there's just two different things going on here. In one part, you're very aware of who you don't want to be and who you do want to be. And so you have your reasoning and you have your no. In the other part, it's the fear is driving the no now. The fear of, I don't want to be that person. And I don't know if I'm like going backward. So the only thing that has to change here is we need to have a new conversation around legit hunger. So for you, it's pulling apart. How do I know for sure when I'm wanting to emotionally eat versus when I'm actually having physical hunger symptoms? That's the journaling work to do in the mornings when you're not anxious and you're not worked up about it. So tell me, if you weren't scared, and let's say, because it sounds to me like you actually know, it's like you've got to get to the conversation that says, this is very different than what I experienced earlier. I'm physically hungry now. I don't think that conversation's happening. I think it's like, oh my God, I don't want to be that other person. And wah, wah, wah. And you know, it's like you are confused because now you're anxious about being hungry.
Yeah. And I was trying to like journal it and I was trying to come up with like, what are my reasons? Right. So I was like, do I not trust the process? Cause I have a lot of evidence that it works. So no, do I not?
That's not it. Don't buy, like, don't try to go too deep in Freud on this.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like that's the opposite of what you would normally tell me. Like, no, I feel like it was the right thing to do.
I mean, you can't, but this is the only time that we want to chase down a thread of why is if it will be really useful. I don't see right now trying to figure out why you can't figure out if you're hungry or not, why this is even happening at this point. I don't see that solving you getting to trust your body. Like, I think the next logical step is I do know that I'm hungry. I just admitted. I know I'm hungry. I'm just afraid that I'm going to go backward. I'm just afraid that it could be emotional. So I really just need to get real clear with myself in the moment. Here's how we know when it's hunger. I feel these things and I need to reassure myself in the moment. Eventually the fear extinguishes.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. I guess it's just being kinder to myself in the process. And because I do think I actually am really aware of the difference and I've been showing up for myself in terms of like not emotionally eating. Like I crushed April. I had like the best month I've ever had in the tribe in April. So like, I know I'm getting it. It's working, but it's just, I feel like I went a little too far where I just like, I'm like, oh, now that it's working, I got to like, you know, tighten the reins, which is a shit thought, right? Like, it's like, I just have gone like a little too far in trying to like hold on to what I'm achieving, I guess.
Like, I don't think you're going too far. I don't think that that's helpful. I think you're trying to figure out how to like set, like, I think you think you're restricting. I don't think you're restricting. Here's what I think. I think you know how to not emotionally eat and you know to say no, and you're solid rock there. I think you have times when you're physically hungry. I don't think this is a restriction issue. I don't think it's even useful for you to describe it this way. I think there are times when you're hungry that you need to tell yourself, I know the difference between an emotional eat and a hungry eat now. So now I can actually just eat when I'm hungry. Like, I want you to keep it simple. Like, to me, this is super simple. And you're just like, I got to be nicer to myself. I must not be loving myself enough. I think I'm falling into restrictive behavior. This is restriction. I need to do it. Like, you're making this like a huge fucking process. And there's one simple thing that needs to happen. When you're physically hungry, after you've decided not to emotionally eat, this is the next thing you work on. I've said no when it was the right time. And now I'm going to eat because it's the right time. That's all.
So stay curious.
Yeah, stay curious. All you got to do is when you get hungry, eat. Listen, you keep trying to go back to all the coach speak. Like, what if it's just working?
I have evidence for that, for sure.
Yeah, like I'm gonna say it for you one more time. So really, like, rewind this and listen to how I'm saying it. It's all working. You don't have any problems right now. You have a thought that works amazingly for you when it's emotional, which is, it's a no because I believe I don't eat over my feelings anymore. So it's very easy for the no to become a real legit thing and a trigger I pull. I am restricting myself from going backward. That's what I get to think. This is amazing. Now, on the days when you don't emotionally eat, you get hungry. And when you're actually physically hungry, you're like, it's time to say yes, because I'm getting really good at knowing the difference between when I emotionally want to eat and getting really good at feeding my body when it says it's time to eat. That's all.
Okay.
You don't need to figure out why it's coming up. You don't need to go into all this, I must not be loving myself enough, or I need to get all curious. And all the sisters, when you get hungry, you know what you need to do?
Eat. Yeah, I know it should be basic for sure. It's
and just tell yourself, I know the difference between physical and emotional hunger now. Yay me.
Yeah, that's a much nicer thought. I like that one better.
Mm-hmm. Do you know the difference between emotional and physical hunger?
I believe I do. I believe I've actually achieved that now.
So that's all you got to start doing. Because right now what's happening is you're not telling yourself that. That's the only real difference. Because now when you get hungry and your brain wants to feel like, oh my God, we should wait. I don't know. We were going to emotionally eat earlier. You're just like, no, this is called legit hunger. I know my stomach's growling, or I know because this is happening. Time to whatever I got planned, time to get on that. I've lost 100-something pounds. I'm really good at this. I don't like you calling it restriction and stuff, because this is what a lot of people do. When they start throwing around the word restriction, it's so loaded with their history and their stories that they get lost in their thought work. They get lost in it's kind of like what you were doing. I want to go down all these little threads and figure out why this is here now and stuff. It's like, what if you just eat and move on? You know, keep it clean and keep it simple. And this last month, what you learned was that you let fear decide when it was time to eat. And now we're going to let confidence and knowing it's physical hunger be the deciding factor.
That sounds a lot more comfortable.
Yeah, it's a lot easier for sure. You're doing great.
Thank you.
Don't let your brain try to complicate things. This is what happens when we have very often when we hit major milestones. When we get to a point where we've basically blown our own mind as to what we can, we've always believed we couldn't do something, and all of a sudden we're doing it. Our brain is just it takes a minute to reset. It wants to go back and make a problem. It's but weight has been your problem. You're not thinking about it like a problem anymore. And so it creates a fake ass problem.
That's very fair.
Yes. Well, that's what the brain does. It's just have you ever had something really good go in your life? I'll give you a good example. My mother is a classic example of fake ass problems. God love Mammy, but she's always struggled with money. And this last year, one of the best things that I ever got to do in my entire life was have what I call my NFL signing day moment, where I paid off my mother's house. I was like, Mama, you raised me. You deserve it. It is a done deal. And for 2 months after that, every time I would talk to her, she's sweating some $5 that she's going to spend at the thrift store. I don't know, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, Mama, you ain't got a house payment. What are you even doing? I know, I'm just used to worrying about money. And then she would find money problems. And I'm like, this is not a money problem. You don't ever have to worry about this again. Your house is paid for, your car, no bills, Mammy. But her brain couldn't let go of the drama for a few months because it was always used to solving the money problem. She would just start worrying about like, what if something happens to my house? I'm like, well, deal with it. But can we just enjoy not having a money problem right now? It's kind of like what your brain's doing. It's like, but weight's our problem. And you're sitting here feeling confident. So let's just drum some shit up.
Yeah, that is exactly how it feels. And it got here. Like, I just reached my lowest adult weight, which is kind of weird for me. Cause I'm like, I've never been here before. So I think that could be the trigger for it too, for sure.
For sure. Every time we accomplish something major, our brain has to do a collective reset. It's got to get used to the new you. And usually what it does is it tries to, it's called the upper limit problem. It was in the book, The Big Leap. But basically an upper limit problem is where you're used to worrying about your weight. You're used to thinking that you're going to fuck it up, that you might not be able to keep it off, all that kind of stuff. You'll hit a point where you're just like, you're getting a lot of success. It's almost like you have more success than you can handle. And then when you have more success than you can handle, it's just tapping on insecurities. And so it starts manifesting problems so that you can kind of feel gross.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you have to like figure out what those things are, which is what you did. Was like, I am sitting here acting like I don't know like what to do when I'm actually hungry. And it felt like a real problem. Like when you watch the video, go back and watch how you even described it. Like it was a real problem. But how you kind of casually dropped, well, I know I'm hungry. I'm just telling myself no. But I'm so worried about all these things. It's like but I'm so worried is where your brain is creating this problem that doesn't exist. It's like, we know we're hungry. Now we just need to eat. And we need to quit telling ourselves all the but I worry about stuff and just say like, I am someone who knows when they're hungry now. That's amazing. I'm also someone that 3 hours ago knew she wasn't and didn't eat because of it. And so that's that new conversation that has to get overlaid where you start being like, okay, it's time to feel safe with success again.
Okay.
You got this.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. I know May is going to be my month of self-validation. Like that's been my goal to try to figure out my path to that or how to do that. So it sounds like it's just more of that kind of work.
Yeah.
Like, looking at the things I'm doing right, because I know I'm doing them. I don't talk about them, but I know they're happening. So I just got to start kind of reinforcing that conversation with myself, I guess.
Yes, spotlight what you're doing right. And a lot of times it's going to feel very fake, or it's going to feel like you don't deserve it. And it's only because you've spent so many years telling yourself something different. It's not because you don't deserve all of your accolades, and it's not because you aren't the person who is smart and can do this and proving every day that your life has changed. It's just a matter of it's running interference with something that you've told yourself your entire life. And your brain's like, are we sure? I mean, for fuck's sake, we believed this for a long time. Do I really want to go through the process of believing something new? That's hard. I would just rather stay in its diaper. So you'll do great. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
Okay. That was a good call. Lori?
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I didn't think I'd actually be called, even though I wrote notes and hoping I would be. So I'm a little nervous. Okay. I've been coached before, but this is the first time by you.
Oh, awesome. What are we coaching on?
So I am overly worried about what my family will say. And now that we're going to start going back out into the world, that we're all vaccinated, what others will say about my different eating behaviors.
Okay.
So I did do the CAPI method to help recalibrate. And I was like, so worried about it. I gave my boyfriend a heads up. We've been together like forever. You might as well be married. We just don't want to go that route. I'm like, okay, so this is what I'm going to do. So don't question me on it. And he's like, well, I probably will, but, so that kind
why
of,
why do you care if he does? Like, what do you care if everybody, when you go back out, is just like, ew, what are you doing? Oh my God.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. It really
tell me.
Like, something came up. I was watching on another coaching call. And I wrote down, I don't even remember what they were talking about. It's like, I never want to be questioned about my eating.
Why? Like, what is the worst that's going to happen if somebody is, so your boyfriend, he's like, well, I probably will say something. Yeah. Like, what if I came up to you and were like, ew, Lori, why are you doing the Kathy method? Oh my God, that's like half the food. Bullshit. I don't even like the Kathy method.
I'm just the being judged. I don't want to be judged. I don't like
but they're not
judged.
Judging you.
In my mind, it feels that way.
Yeah, but that's your brain's problem that we can fix. But what if they're just questioning? What if you didn't think of it as I'm being judged?
That helps, yeah. And like another hard part is my 83-year-old mom lives with us and she had a stroke last year. Mm-hmm. And she actually was really good, but her short-term memory isn't very well. Yeah. And so she always is like, but you know, like if I'm journaling, what are you working? What's going on? And I'm like, I just don't want to go there with her.
Why? Why not just say I'm writing? What are you doing?
And that's why I'm like, I said, well, I'm just doing some personal stuff and or journaling is what I've told her. And then she kind of shrugs and goes off. So yeah, it's definitely
what is
my
the problem?
Fault.
This is what I don't understand.
Yeah.
Your brain really thinks that this is a huge problem. The biggest problem is you think people are judging you.
Yeah.
What if they're just asking questions? Because you're doing something different. And they're curious, like most humans. If your boyfriend came in and ate three pizzas, would you ask him, like, what are you doing?
I would probably give him, tease him about eating three pizzas.
And why? Yeah. Because he'd be doing something different, right?
Yeah. So.
But let's just pull one thing apart. Why is it wrong? Like, what if every single person truly is judging you? Let's just give it a fact that every person, when you go out to eat, is sitting there thinking, like, what is the worst thing they could think? Like, what is it that you're, like, so afraid they're thinking? Or they would even verbalize. Let's just pretend they're actually going to, like, spew the words. Most humans are too chicken shit to say what they really think. They're just going to be like, why are you eating half the food? So what's the worst thing somebody could say to you?
Well, that's stupid. I guess it isn't really all that bad. So what if it's, you might think it's stupid, but I don't.
I think that's going to be like one of the things that I would do is do some writing on, all right, I'm going back out in the world. There's going to be times when I want it to go box. Like, what is all these wild new behaviors you're going to be doing when you go back out in the world that somebody's going to be like, oh, you're like a cheetah in the, like in the neighborhood and such a spectacle. I need to get a picture.
I was just thinking, well, I know like MJ, because MJ shared, like she puts water on her dish. I thought, oh, that's a great idea. And then I could just picture my friends teasing me to no end for putting water on my plate when I'm done eating.
Okay, let's say they do that. Let's say you're having your meal. The water is placed on the plate when you're done eating. And your friends are like, oh my God, Lori, who puts water on their plate? What are you doing? Some kind of crazy water diet fast that we don't know about? Like, let's pretend that even happens. What will be going on inside your head? Because when we say it out loud, number one, the odds of somebody saying something are probably what? Shit to none. I mean, I don't know what your friends are like, but my friends are usually so enamored with their own conversation or they're still fucking eating that they're not really paying attention to what I'm doing.
That's a good point. Yeah, I noticed that too. Like, since I joined, like changing a little bit here and there that nobody noticed. So
that's one thought you could start telling yourself. Yeah. It's possible that when I go out, no one's really going to notice my behavior changes.
Yeah.
Another thought is there, it's possible that I'm overthinking this, that most people won't care. It's also possible some people might actually be like, wow, what are you doing? I wish I could only eat half. And you get to tell them, like, it's this amazing program with this chick that cusses like a sailor, and I've learned so much.
Great. Yeah. Yeah.
But then here's what will be going on in your brain. And that's the part we want to solve, which is when they say things, what are you going to say inside your head? Like, what is the first, like, what's your default thought going to be that's got you so afraid?
I think, well, one thing was, we had brunch on the weekends, and I was like, then, and I wanted one more bite of just this part of the bacon that looked really good. It was extra crispy. So I took that part and put the rest back. And my boyfriend made a huge big deal about that. And I said, well, I didn't want the whole thing.
Let me ask you this, though. When you say huge big deal, let's get very specific. What did he actually say? Let's make sure it was a really huge big deal. And that's not like your brain made it into a big, huge deal. And it wasn't. So let's just, what did he actually say about you taking a piece of bacon?
He looked at me and he commented on, like, I can't believe you just did that, is what he said.
Okay. What? Ate one little piece of bacon?
And then put the rest back on the plate. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I didn't want the whole thing. I only wanted that one part of it. And because the day before he was going off about.
Yeah, but don't get into the day before.
Okay.
So then he said.
I said, I didn't want to waste it because you were upset at me for wasting food. And he's like, well, I can't believe you put it back on there. So I took the rest of the bacon and put it on my plate and I threw it away. And it just would have been so much more peaceful if I could have just ate the part of the bacon I wanted.
No, it could have been much more peaceful if you hadn't said, didn't make it a big deal in your head.
Okay.
He doesn't like waste. Let me give you the irony of all ironies.
Okay.
You're making him and him not liking waste a big deal. He's making you like a big deal in his world too. And he thinks his world would be so much simpler if you would just eat the bacon. And you're like, yeah, but it would be so much simpler in my world if you just get behind me on eating a piece of the bacon. And both of you are just like, if you would change, I could feel better.
Okay. Yeah.
So if you want to feel better, here's what I suggest. When he says, oh my God, why did you do that? You say, I just wanted one piece. And then he says whatever it is, the second thing he said, like, okay, point taken. And you're like, happy knowing you're not going to gain weight this week. And you just sit there and you're just like, yeah, he thinks if I would be different, he would be happy. Yeah. And I'm done thinking if he would be different, then I get to be happy.
Yeah. So just do it. And then ask, just point blank, say what I'm doing.
And no, it's stop making it a big deal in your head. It's not so much about what you say. It's about what you tell yourself. Okay. It's like, oh yeah, I can see why he's making this a big deal. He doesn't like waste. A lot of people don't. Let me ask you, was there a point in time when you ate and didn't like wasting food?
Not so much. I mean, I always ate my whole thing because I liked it, but now, you know, I'm like, don't need all that. So I don't eat all that and throw it away. And it doesn't really bother me. So,
well, I just always think there's always going to be people in the world who, you know, don't like waste. They don't really understand.
Well, he doesn't do that. He throws all leftovers away and everything I didn't. That's why I was like really thrown by it. I'm like, you know, so what's the difference of, I mean, not eating a whole slice of bacon and throwing away a whole dinner.
But this is what I want to show you is like when you're questioning, like, why does this have to be such a big deal? Why do you even have to comment on all this? Blah, 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 blah. You can try to spend time and energy there, but that's you making a big deal out of something. Okay. That's you doing all of that. That's not him. It doesn't become emotionally a big deal until you have a thought like, he shouldn't say that. If he'd quit saying these things, then I could feel better. That's when the big deal gets made. Other than just saying like, he doesn't like wasting food. I get it. But I'm still going to eat this little tiny piece of bacon.
And that's that. No big deal. And
yeah. It's boring.
Make it boring.
It's very boring. It means you're going to go out more often and have a pretty boring existence because you're not going to be worrying what people think and spending all your time and energy there and driving yourself to overeating because you're all up in somebody else's head and I'm worried about what they're going to think of you. It's lame. That's why we don't do it. You know what happens in boring land? We don't clean our plate. We don't just eat appetizers because everybody else is. We don't sit there and feel like we don't talk ourselves into the idea that we're being pushed food because people are asking us questions so that we can get dessert. Like there's no treats in boring land. Boring land, you just eat what is fucking on your plan.
I like boring land. I live in boring land.
Yeah. More of us need to get boring when we go out with other people. Like imagine if every time they comment on your food, if it's just a sentence. Doesn't mean you're broken. It doesn't mean that you're being judged. It doesn't like I'm being judged. It's like, no, I just heard a sentence coming out of my friend's mouth. I should probably ignore it, respond to it, or laugh it off, one or the other. What if I didn't make it mean anything about me?
Awesome. That helps.
Like somebody in the comments said, it's so common to get upset when people bring up our new choices. This is the thing. When people bring up your new choices, their comments are not what's upsetting. The insecurity that their comment taps on inside of your brain, that's what's upsetting. Find the insecurity. Because a lot of times what happens is when people are commenting on your new choices and they're like, they're noticing like, oh my gosh, like you don't eat as much as you used to. Like you're not gonna get appetizers with the rest of us? What is like, what's wrong with you? Like people will say things like that. It's not their comments. It's not their place to not say those things. That's called typical conversation. That's all that's really happening. What happens though, is that little inner belief in you that's sitting there going like, well, you've done good so far, but you know, it's going to be hard when you have to start going back out to eat. Like that belief. When you go out and everybody's commenting on your food, that's what's getting tapped. It's the insecurity inside of you that is saying it's hard to go out to eat after COVID. You know, we're going back out into the people's atmosphere and they're going to comment. So then what happens is like when you think that, you go out and then somebody will make a comment and it will become a big deal in your head. That's because it's tapping on your insecurity. It's like saying, I told you. Everyone will be judging you. And oh my God, it's so hard to go out to eat because it just seems like it's a running commentary on everything you're eating. Yes. But it's like some bitch made one comment about a glass of water on your plate.
Yep. That's it.
That's all that's happening. So it's really good, like Lori, for you to realize that when you're worrying about what people might be asking you and stuff like that, it's like to ask yourself, am I sitting around believing it's going to be hard to go back out to eat after COVID? If so, then every single person's opinion, every single time someone like looks at my plate, I will misread that as it being really hard and that I'm being judged. I won't see it as anything else. If I change my mind and I think, it's so great that COVID's over and I have so many amazing skills. Like I literally know now how to not eat too much food. I never knew that previous to COVID. Now I'm going to get to go out to eat with my friends. I'm going to like, I won't have to overeat. I'll actually get to enjoy myself. This is going to be amazing. And some of them might even notice the positive changes in me. Like you're worthy. It's like, you haven't even said one time that these are positive changes. And it's like, oh, they're all going to see all these, you know, these changes as if they're terrible. So when you change over to thinking that, then here's what happens. You turn your brain on to be thinking that when you go out to eat, number one, you know exactly what to do when the food's there. Like we're already training our brain. We know exactly what to do when the food's there. Number two, you will like if somebody comments on your plate, you'll be like, yeah, it's this new stuff I've been doing. It's been great. It got me through COVID. Mm-hmm. Like you'll hear it. You'll hear it as if they're interested in what you're doing instead of hearing it as they're judging what I'm doing.
I like that.
And if they are judging, you won't make it mean anything about you. It'll, because you've talked to yourself so much about how this is a good thing for you and that some people might be interested, then when somebody's just like, ew, what do you mean? Have like a little snippet of bacon. You should put all that on your plate. What are you doing? It's so wasteful, blah, blah, blah. When boyfriend has all of that, then it's a lot easier when you're really solid in what you're doing. I'm like, yeah, I get it, man. I'm just going to eat this little bit of bacon. And you'll be thinking, he's either going to get used to the new me or he's going to sit around and be angry about bacon for a long time because I'm not going to overeat because of it. He probably will figure it out.
Leave that up to him. Yeah, that's what I like. I was listening to the Overwhelm podcast and it was like, you know yourself so well that what other people say or think, you know, it's like this kind of rolls off of you. Like I can't remember verbatim what you mentioned, said it, how you said it in the podcast. But
it's like when you really like, it's kind of like when, like if you have a child, I'll tell you what, a lot of us have pets. We all think our pets just about, you know, walk on gold, you know, like they shit gold, they walk on gold, they pant gold, you know, all the things. And it would be like somebody walking up to you on the street and looking at your precious poo. It was like sitting there. And been like, that is the most motherfucking ugly dog. Like, why do you even own this thing? And you would just be like, nobody would be like, oh my gosh, I should put my dog down. I'm being judged for my dog. I don't even know if I'll be able to take him out for a walk ever again. Somebody thought he was ugly. Like, none of us would do that because we're not sitting around with dog insecurity. We're not sitting around all day long going, I wonder if people are going to comment on my dog. I wonder what people will think when I walk my dog. I wonder if everybody is looking at my dog thinking she could do so much better. Like we don't sit around thinking about that dog that. So when we go out and somebody says our dog's motherfucking ugly, we're just like, step back, bitch. What are you even talking about? Like we, it just like, it rolls off of us because it's so anti what we believe. That's what I want for all of you about yourselves. To at least think of yourself as much regard as you would your animals. We're not trying to set high bars here, ladies.
That's awesome. That's great. That's one of my whys too, is to build my confidence. So
Well, you can do it. You're on the right track. You're doing your shit. You're questioning things. You're already thinking about COVID. I just want you to reorient how you're thinking about it. All of you are going to be going back out, right? We're all, you know, like things are going to be open middle of summer. God forbid, we're all probably going to be hugging at some point again. Like close quarter syndrome is coming.
And we were going out actually this weekend because we're all vaccinated and my
mom was
like, nobody better hug me. I'm like, who's going to hug you the waitress? Like,
that's me. We're coming up with a how close can you be to me protocol for camp. We're having a color-coded system. Everybody's vaccinated, but some people aren't comfortable yet, you know, with a big old like, give me the bear, you know. So, but we're all going to be going back out into the world. Mm-hmm. And what we need to do already is not sit and think about how scary it's going to be and how, like, I don't know, the food's going to be so different. Do not build food insecurity and anxiety around going back out to eat. You guys are well equipped. You do not need to be in a cocoon to know if you've had enough. You can go out to eat. It'll just be the next challenge. For a lot of you, haven't been out to eat in a long time. Now you're going to go and you're going to get to learn the next thing, which is now I get to eat some of the foods that I love and I get to figure out how to eat just enough, lose weight and feel amazing. Like, let's all think about it like that. Let's not think about it like this big looming cliff is coming and we're all fixing to walk off of it. Yeah. All right. You got your marching orders.
Got it right here.
All righty. So thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, Elizabeth, you're next. Oh, Mary, I have to read this while Elizabeth's coming on. Sometimes I feel like I've failed so many times that I don't want anyone to notice that I'm trying something different. This is very common. All that's happening is when somebody notices something different, what it's doing is giving you a signal, Mary, in your brain. I need to work on my belief. I need to work in believing in Mary. I need to tell myself so often all the right things I'm doing. So especially for all of you in the 100, and y'all quit commenting and agreeing with her because I'm losing her comment and I want to read the rest of it. Just slow down. I've lost your comment already. All right. So the thing about it is it's doing a lot of work on telling yourself every little thing that you do. Guys, every plan, every bite you leave behind, if you take a 10-minute walk, if you get up and down in your chair during the day because you thought, you know what, I should move. I don't care what you do. You lock it in as, look at me, I'm really changing. I swear that was some of the secret sauce to me losing my 100 pounds was I can't tell you how many times that I would see myself doing something that I hadn't done before or see myself do it in like for 3 straight days. And I would be like, see, I'm really changing. But I spent more time catching myself in what I call action and in the doing part and highlighting and talking about it, not waiting for the scale. Because I think a lot of you, what you do is you depress and deprive yourself from believing that it's working until you hit certain numbers. Well, you need to lose this amount of weight per week in order to believe it. Like, I need this number to hit before I'm allowed to believe it. And then what happens is when you are convinced that you have to hit certain things in order to believe, you keep moving the mark. You hit it and you're like, yeah, but I'm not real sure. That's the problem. When you delay belief on waiting for something to happen, something comes and you talk yourself out of giving yourself the success and the belief and all the stuff. You do not need to earn your approval. You do not need to earn your enoughness. And you do not need to earn feeling really good about the things that you're doing for yourself at any size. You get to tell yourself with every tiny action. And I think it's even more important when the more weight you have to lose or the more entrenched in binging behavior. A lot of you don't have a lot of weight to lose, not on this call, but people will listen to this. Some of you who have like just 10 to 15 pounds to lose are so entrenched in binging or so entrenched in your old identity that like you deny yourself from believing that the change is happening when it is. We have to break what we think is worthy of celebrating ourselves and start just doing it anyway now. And so let me finish reading it. So what ends up happening though is when people will notice what you're doing, it's like what's happening, like, all right, if anybody's come into the self-sabotage camp in May, we're going to talk about this extensively on day 2. Like this topic is like basically what day 2 is all about. What happens is other people will say things. They'll comment on like what you're eating, or they'll comment on like, oh my gosh, you've lost weight, or blah, 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 blah. It's not their comments that are the problem. When you start feeling panicky or triggered or whatever, it's because it's hitting a self-sabotage belief that you've got tucked away that you don't hear just yet. And so the first warning sign is when if somebody is mentioning what you ordered or how much you ate, or they notice you've lost weight or whatever, if their comments and the feeling that you have don't match, like if somebody says, oh, I noticed you ordered a salad, and you feel judged, that doesn't match the sentence, why did you get a salad? It's a mismatch. That means an inner insecurity has been tapped. So rather than trying to figure out, like, what do you say to these people, Corinne? And what should I tell everybody? And how should I set myself up to respond? Rather than coming up with all that busy bullshit, what if we're like, why the fuck do I feel judged when somebody asks me why I ordered a salad? How about I get to the root of that? Because if I solve feeling good about myself, then when somebody asks why you order salads, they're like, bitch, because I got me a new plan. Listen to that cussing whore. I'm telling you, losing 100 pounds. Mouth like a sailor, but she'll take you straight to God with her, like, preaching about the weight loss. Like, that will be the difference. We don't need better responses. And we don't need to tell our friends and set boundaries. And we don't need to busy with all that. Near as much most of us need to do is figure out, if somebody asks me why I ate half my plate, if somebody asks me why I'm ordering a salad, not appetizers, if somebody says, come on, you can have dessert, and my feeling does not seem to match the sentence, that's my work to do. What's going on in my brain? What am I making it mean? And like, why is it so bad that they're doing that? And you will tell yourself why. All right. And so she was worried that like, they're going to think that she's trying something new and she's going to fail again. And she doesn't want to fail anymore. So if you don't want to fail anymore, quit assuming everybody assumes you will. If somebody says something about what you order, give them some credit and think they're either just curious, or if you think they think I'm going to fail again, it's like, no, it's that I must believe there's a chance that I could fail. And I need to work on telling myself more often, I won't this time because of all these reasons. I refuse to this time because of all these reasons. That's your work to do. All right. Elizabeth, are you there? That was a little bit ago. I don't know if she's actually here. I think I called on. Oh, no, here she is. Hello. Let's get you unmuted. How do you figure out how much weight do you need to lose? Not the BMI. Never go by BMI, y'all. It's the most broken ass scale that ever was. Like, everybody should throw that one away. Feeling comfortable, that's a good start. Just start with, for me, when I first started, I didn't think I needed to lose 100 pounds. I wanted to feel better. So I started working on ways to feel better. And I knew that I wanted to lose some weight. And the more weight I lost, the more it was easier for me to set a target. All right, Elizabeth, what are we coaching on? Hello? Hello? Yes. It's your turn. What are we coaching on? Yes. Did you want to get coached?
Is this Elizabeth Beck?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
This is Corinne.
Elizabeth. I'm Elizabeth. I didn't know I was going to be on, but...
You had your hand raised, so I called you up.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I have problems staying on plan.
Okay.
I'm not sure why I seem to write something down and then I seem to just eat something else.
So give me an example. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm doing well with, leaving behind at least a bite, usually two.
Mm-hmm.
But, staying on plan. I always do my breakfast good.
okay. So what do you usually plan for breakfast?
I usually have eggs.
Okay.
Sometimes toast with my eggs. Sometimes I'll have oatmeal.
Do you like your breakfast?
Yeah, I love breakfast.
Okay. So yes. I love breakfast.
Uh-huh.
And you like what you're planning?
Yes.
And so probably when you're going into that meal, you're probably thinking things like, I like this. This is great. Favorite meal.
Right.
So that's probably why it's easy. It's like, I'm really good at breakfast. The only reason I spotlight that is because I want everybody to think about this. We stay on plan because of how we talk about our plan. We get off plan because of how we talk about it. So one of the things that a lot of you can do is when you notice like, well, I tend to always eat my breakfast, or I tend to always do this one. Like, that's not my problem. Figure out what you tell yourself around that.
Okay.
So now what happens, where is the meal you're typically like, forget this, we're moving on?
Yeah, it's usually lunch.
Okay. You know. What do you normally plan for lunch?
It varies, but it's usually a salad and some kind of protein.
Okay. Do you love salad and protein?
I do.
Like, you love your eggs and bacon and your oatmeal and toast?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. So then why would you change?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, I don't know. I feel like maybe I need to like do some like batch cooking and have everything prepared.
Okay. So it's not prepared. So you have to actually make your salad when it's lunchtime?
Well, a lot of times I have a salad in the fridge. I make a big bowl of salad. I always usually have a salad on hand.
So let me ask you this. When it's time for your salad, it's on your plan. It says protein and salad. And it's time to execute. And you don't want that. What do you tell yourself?
Nothing. I just do what I want to do.
No, you always, let me tell you this. We got to figure out what you're telling yourself, because you can't do something else without a command from your brain.
Okay. Well, probably maybe, well, no, I don't really want that. Or I haven't looked in the refrigerator and I don't have the item. That happens often.
So, well, that's an easy fix. If it's, if you're noticing the pattern of, I'm planning a salad and I haven't even checked my fridge yet to see if I have salad. We can probably just get, like, you're right. Like, it's probably going to be a little bit more of like, I'm learning that I need to check first thing in the morning before I write something on my plan. I should at least make sure I have my stuff. Like, that's the easy fix. And that's some of that low hanging fruit for all of you. But here's the problem. Sometimes that's not what's happening.
No.
You're telling yourself, I don't want this.
Right.
Which you never tell yourself about breakfast.
No.
Okay. So why would you allow yourself to say that at lunch? Why not say, I love this. I plan salads because I love it as much as I do breakfast. Let's go.
Yeah. Right. Oh, gosh. I don't know. A lot of times, and sometimes I'm not home. And so, you know, I'll just get something when I'm out.
And what do you tell your,
that's what happens. I'm not at home.
Okay. So on those days, are you planning a salad with protein that you would eat at home knowing you're going to be gone?
Not always, because I don't always know I'm going to be gone.
Okay. So here's what I would do if that's pattern two. So the first thing I would do is I plan in the morning is if I'm going to be home, let's make sure I've got the stuff that I'm going to need to eat so that my plan is accurate.
Okay.
If the pattern is like, I don't always know if I'm going to be home, then I need to have what's called plan B, which is I always eat, like, I eat this, or if I go out, here's what I get to get.
Oh, okay. I like that idea. In fact, that'd probably be really helpful because then it gives me choices, I guess, kind of.
I'm not trying to give you choices here.
Okay.
Just this is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to, I'm trying to like cover your bases so that if you literally know you can't be at home, then it's like this, because this is what I don't want you to do.
Okay.
It's because I don't want anybody to misinterpret me. I do not want you to put salad on your plan and whatever you would get when you go out. Let's say you're going to get a taco salad somewhere.
Okay.
Something that you would actually like better. This is what I don't want you to do. Come time for your salad and you're actually at home. You're like, ooh, I don't want that. Let me go get this over here. This sounds better. We're not trying to create a plan where we're basically eating on our emotional whims.
Okay.
That's what we don't want. What we do want to do, though, is have it to where you're as enthused about your plan and talking about your plan like you do with breakfast. Okay. That's why breakfast is a no-brainer for you. It's because you have conversation, you have food you like, you look forward to eating, and that when before you go into it, it's like, oh yeah, I like this, favorite meal. We want to do that with other meals. So we want to get to where when you're planning, you're really planning consciously. You're not just writing things down because you're like salad, protein.
Okay.
You're constantly choosing something else because you just want something different.
Uh-huh.
You're not consciously planning. You're just hopeful planning.
Okay.
So okay. A little bit more deliberateness.
Okay. Yeah. I usually pretty much am on target with breakfast and dinner. It's the lunch that I have.
So when you are out,
uh-huh.
Let's say we're out and we were uh-huh. supposed to eat a salad. What do you get when you go out?
Well, it depends. It's usually not a salad.
That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, I might get chili. It's not bad. I might get chili from Wendy's or a Chipotle salad I might get.
Oh, that's fine.
You know, yeah, I don't eat. It's not an excuse that to eat junk because I'm not really a junk food junkie. I'm really not. Okay. So, you know, or one day I had a crepe, you know, a veggie crepe. So it's something, you know, or a Chick-fil-A salad, which I'll have a salad, but I'll have a Chick-fil-A salad or a Chipotle salad.
I have all of that's fine. Like, yeah. That's not a big deal. What I want everybody to be mindful of is uh-huh. when you're planning salads and it's like, mm-hmm. well, I'm going out to eat and I'm getting a Whopper.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Right.
That is that's the real signal that we're emotionally eating. But literally, right. you can lose 100. I know this because I did this. You could lose 100 pounds eating what you're eating for breakfast, eating a Chick-fil-A salad. You could do mm-hmm. it with a chili and a baked potato from Wendy's. That used to be my like mm-hmm. all-time favorite. Like, yeah, I loved that combo. Mm-hmm. Doing any of that stuff.
Okay.
So it's really just going to be a little bit more deliberate and making sure that when you're not going to eat what's on your plan for all of you,
uh-huh.
don't go fuck it mode and just eat whatever. Like make what I would call like the equal swap that you're like, and uh-huh. if I was to put this on my plan every single day, I could uh-huh. still lose weight.
Okay.
That's the intentions behind it.
Okay. Okay. And I'm feeling like a little overwhelmed. Like I've got so much content to catch up on. I don't know if I should start over again or just pick a place and start.
There's no getting behind because the only thing you have to do is watch the No BS videos. Like this call today, this is bonus. This is only if you've watched your baseline content. Like none of these things, you should ever listen to them unless you just want to.
Okay.
So like there's no catching up. Like you could never listen to this call and you could lose all the weight you would want inside of just listening to the No BS weight loss lessons. If you only listened to those, got through it, did the worksheets and made a plan every day, you would be fine. Then you could layer in like these live calls I do, you could layer in just one a week.
Okay. That sounds doable.
Yeah. Do not try to listen to all of them. They're not meant for you to listen to all of them.
Okay. And as far as making the plan, is it just so that you aren't wondering what you're going to eat and then you eat junk?
Yeah.
Purpose.
Okay. That's the main purpose right there.
That's what I thought. I'm so smart.
Yes. That's all it. Like, it's so that like you're not sitting and standing in front of your fridge when there's no salad and going I wonder what I should eat. I have no idea. And then you just go to something easy. That's not great.
Okay. All right, Corinne, thank you so much. I'm so grateful to you.
Thank you. Thank you for getting coached.
Oh, thanks for having me.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Hang on. I've got a meeting, I think. Let me check. I keep pretending like I can just go all day today. Okay. I tell you what I can do. I can take one more, but we got to do it in 5 minutes while Chris is coming downstairs for our next meeting. And then if you want, you can come back at 5 p.m. Central Time, because I will be live coaching for about an hour and a half there. You can like spend more time with me. Diana Rose. Of course, now it's not letting me pull anybody up. Here we go. All right. Hi. Let's see if we can get it done in 5 minutes.
Probably.
All right. What are we coaching on?
How to leave the past in the past. So
drop it like a bad habit.
To make it short about 7 or 8 years ago, I lost 90 pounds and slowly I've gained back 60. Okay. And I'm doing really well with this. I do my plan, I analyze it, and I love it. I am so nervous being coached by the queen. Oh my God.
It's okay. I won't.
But
anyway,
but I really am pissed at myself for this and hate myself a lot for it. And like I went to a gardens the other day to do some walking, and I used to be able to hike up to the top of the gardens and everything, and I couldn't at all. I mean, I use a cane now because I have a bad knee and all this stuff, and I felt like crap and almost had a breakdown in the rose garden. And I thought, I need to talk to someone about how much I just don't like myself. And I mean, how could I have done that to myself? Came back all that I lost. It was so like,
such this a is the thing. Yeah. That's one of those questions that's so pointless that you're letting yourself think. Like all of what you just told me, you've allowed yourself to create the story and tell yourself over and over and over again. The only solve that you need is to quit talking to yourself like that. So when you hear it, you're like, nope, I'm down 30 pounds and working on losing more. Like when your brain wants to go to, well, you had lost this and now you've regained 6. I would never in my life describe myself as someone who had lost an X amount of weight and then gained back this much. I would always describe myself as like, what are you down, a total of 30 right now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's one, I want you to think about this. This will blow your mind. When you were losing weight the first time, there was a version of you at 30 pounds that was proud of fuck as you.
Really proud. It's true. Very, very yeah. true. Yep.
You get to be her again. You don't need permission. You don't need qualifiers. Now your brain's going to want to argue for your failures.
Yeah.
Because that's what brains do. It doesn't want to be happy. It's like, no, we don't want to be miserable. It's so, the brain's natural wiring is to be biased to the negative.
Yeah.
Wow. And all it's trying to do, like, the more you beat yourself up over it, all your brain is trying to do is to protect you from the beatdown and how bad you feel.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's going to beat you up enough to where you just decide to check back out and eat. It's a protection mechanism against self-loathing. So what we don't want to do is keep feeding the narrative, because nothing you told me was true except you're down 30 pounds. And you're on a cane and willing to go walking until you get off the cane again.
Right. Yeah. That's my goal, is to get off the cane. I mean, I know I'll be able
so
to
why don't
off
we think
cane.
About that? Like whenever your brain wants to go to, oh my God, you're back on a cane. When it wants to do that, it's like, I'm a motherfucking badass who is willing to go on a walk so she can be free of her cane again.
That's very true.
It's true and way better than this big stack of lies you're telling yourself. Now, this is the thing. This is journaling 101. Your brain needs you to every day write the story of who Diana is now. You do not need to replay your trash. You already have that on lock, and it's offering it up to you like a habit right now.
Yeah.
So what we don't need to do is like, let me like write again about what a failure I am and try to come up with one thought for myself. Like, don't do that to yourself. Put it all out on paper one time and then say, and this is a story I no longer tell myself anymore.
Right.
Then I want you to write like, and here's how I want to talk about myself. I've lost 30 pounds. At one time, it felt amazing. That means it gets to feel amazing now. Yeah. Here are all the things I'm doing for myself. I'm excited to be here. Never got to lose weight this way. This is great. Like, you get to talk about it any way you want. And then you write that story every day. It doesn't have to be the exact same story. You get to talk about like, here's what I'm proud of myself for today. Here are the things I'm looking forward to being able to do tomorrow. Here are the things that are great about this experience. Here's all the things that, like, God, that's so different than last time. And if you tell that story every day, then what happens when you do it on paper is that your brain has, you know, it's got your past sitting right there, your old shitty. But it also on paper has the new one. So that means it's going to catalog it in your brain too. and they're both going to be sitting there. Yeah. This one will probably come first for a long time. But when you write it every single day, you'll start being like, okay, but here's first phase is like, but here's how we're going to think. And you'll have to consciously redirect it and tell it the thing. Then after a little while of doing this, like 30 days, you'll catch yourself thinking shitty thoughts and be like, no, like, remember, we're trying to remember this. Like, it'll just start auto-populating. It's like your brain is now, you know, like when we have a typo and it will give you this, like, yeah, the squiggly.
Right.
Your brain will start squiggling the things that aren't right. Be like, I think you have like a misthought here. I think you misthought this. But you're going to have to go in and fix it. You know how it doesn't just auto fix it? It's like you got to right click on it and tell it, no, take this word or whatever.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right.
Then eventually what happens is this old thought comes in and your brain does auto correct. Like your phone will. It's going to assume this is the new story. So it's going to start wanting to think this, like, oh no, you're doing so much better. We don't even need to think that anymore. It's going to autocorrect for you.
Yeah.
That's the process.
I can feel that happening. I mean, I know that could happen. I do know that.
We just have to be patient with it. And we don't have to think that we're broken because we keep telling the old story. You don't need to spend time wishing the old story away. All of you, please don't fight with your old stories anymore. They're only there because you've not given yourself anything else to think. I know they feel bad, but they only feel as bad every time you reintroduce a new thought. You're also left with a better feeling. You're left with relief from just believing what you've been believing. So it's worth it to allow that story to keep coming up and for you to rewire your thinking. It's worth that energy expenditure. It's worth that time and effort because then you're left feeling incrementally better every single day.
Yeah, that's right. You're right. Thank you.
What city is behind you?
Chicago. I'm in LA now, but I'm from Chicago originally.
I swear that one building almost looked like the Batman building. I was like, that can't be Nashville. I was like, I don't know if everything around it looks like that.
Yeah, that's just my background, but yeah. That's
awesome. All right, anything else?
No, I really appreciate you. Thank you very much.
We do have if you go to the website underneath self-course study stuff and worksheets, there is a rewriting your past worksheet if you ever want to do it, but that's also there for you.
Oh, I will do that. Great. Okay. I love doing all the work. I would do that.
I did a whole video on it and everything. You'll love it.
Okay, cool.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, ladies. That's it for today. Next quarter, we'll probably get you guys back in rotation again. We're trying to have a few specialty calls. So be on the lookout. You never know when I'm going to pop back up just for you guys. Y'all have a good one. Talk to you maybe at 5 o'clock if you're coming back. Bye, y'all.